This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
Welcome back to another edition of the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. I am Paul Perticchese, and thank you for joining me as always. The pre-draft process is in high gear, and with the start of NFL free agency just a couple of days ago, the NFL landscape has been turned upside down. I'm recording this late Thursday night, and I'm glad I waited to the time I did, because within the last 10 minutes, two major moves that will impact the NFL draft, that will impact dynasty leagues, will impact the NFL season, have all transpired, and I will get into all of that. Let's start with, I'm going to cover a lot of stuff with free agency tonight, the impact on the NFL draft, might share my thoughts about the moves in terms of dynasty, in terms of stock up, stock down, stock neutral, who it's impacting. But let's start with the impact on the NFL draft. And let's start with something that right before I went on air, it broke that the Chicago Bears had traded for Keenan Allen. And I think that's where we're going to start tonight, because A, it's the most recent news. And two, I think it does have major ramifications on multiple areas of the NFL draft. The first one is, now it sets up a situation where I can't remember another quarterback taken near the top of the draft, except maybe with Trey Lance, but that was a unique situation. But this is where a quarterback's going to get drafted by Chicago, just a matter of, you know, when they're going to trade Justin Fields, if there's a market there. But all signs point to Caleb Williams being the guy. But now he's going to have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, a line that they've slowly started to upgrade. Cole Kmet, and they signed Gerald Everett in free agency. They signed DeAndre Swift. They have plenty of other draft ammo to either potentially take another wide receiver at 9 or one of the best defensive players in the draft. They could take another wide receiver later. So this trade of Keenan Allen, the impact on the Bears is, I think it makes it a little less likely that they take a wide receiver at 9. I think it's a little less likely that they maybe look to move up if they were really targeting Odunze or Neighbors if he fell. Still a possibility one falls to 9 when you start to think about potentially 4 quarterbacks. You start to think about the other 2 wide receivers, and then if we have some offensive lineman or defensive player, you know, does Atlanta want to make another investment in the skill position? Tennessee at 7. We'll talk about that, but Calvin Ridley, like, now there. You know, and now the Bears making this trade for Keenan Allen. So it does, things have kind of shaken out here in that 7-9 range, that there is a scenario that no wide receiver might go 7-9. So if Neighbors or Odunze, if one of them falls out of the top 6 because 4 quarterbacks get pushed up there, there is a scenario where one of those wide receivers can take a little bit of a fall. Well, one of these teams that just made a free agent slash trade investment in a wide receiver, would they take Odunze or Neighbors if they fall over one of the top offensive linemen or one of the top defensive players in the draft? So I do think there's a little bit less of a likelihood that the Bears at 9 look wide receiver when they can go get another potent edge rusher, whether it's Dallas Turner, they can get a cornerback like Quinton Mitchell. There's other areas there. They can potentially trade that to a team that wants to come up. Like, there's other paths. So I think now the addition of Keenan Allen, really, it makes it a little bit intriguing about what the Bears might do with that second first-round pick. I think it opens the door a little bit. The other thing I think that move dramatically does is it impacts what the Chargers are thinking. Because I think they released Mike Williams, now they've traded Keenan Allen. They got nothing at the wide receiver depth chart right now. They have Quinton Johnson, who they took last year in round 1, who had a disaster of a rookie year. They didn't even want to really play him. You know, they have Josh Palmer. Not a lot there. So now at 5, there was a lot of talk that maybe they would consider an offensive lineman like Joe Alt. Maybe they would consider a tight end like Brock Bowers, even though that kind of has quieted down a little bit. But where would, you know, Jim Harbaugh first major, you know, move as having a lot of power there with the Chargers, where would that first pick of his go? And now, like, they probably got to do something at the wide receiver position. You know, could they still trade back, get an offensive tackle, trade that pick to a team that either wants J.J. McCarthy if he's there, or a wide receiver, maybe, and then target some wide receivers later on? It is a really deep class, so they could get another wide receiver later on in the second round, whatever the case may be. But I think this trade now really puts the Chargers potentially in the mix for a wide receiver at 5, where I thought it was a possibility, but I thought it was a 50-50 possibility whether they went wide receiver or whether they went Joe Alt to really fortify that offensive line once for all, have bookend tackles for the next decade. But now it's hard to look at that team and Josh, you know, Justin Herbert probably has got the least supporting cast around him of any player in all football in terms of skill players. And it's bad. So I think this move now, I would say, excuse me, way more wide receiver than offensive tackle at 5. I think it also skews me more towards the Bears potentially thinking about defense at 9 instead of wide receiver at 9. But again, there is a scenario that one of these elite wide receivers fall, and one of these teams might just say, like, we're going to take him. We have him as our third or fourth best player on our board. We're not letting him get past 7, 8, or 9. So this Keenan Allen trade, I think, has a lot of ramifications in terms of the top 10. It could impact what the Chargers are doing. It could impact what the Bears are doing at 9 and what the Chargers are doing 5. And there could be a trickle-down effect with other teams as well. The other news that just broke, so let me start there also, is the Chiefs came to a 1-year deal with Hollywood Brown. Now, the 1-year deal part is staggering. I'm going to talk about some of the other wide receiver contracts momentarily. But the 1-year deal, when we've seen the money being thrown around, and it said 1 year up to $11 million, which leads me to believe it's like a 1-year, $8 or $9 million contract with incentives up to $11 million, which is just, maybe he just wanted an opportunity to play with Patrick Mahomes, and then he's looking at this as his opportunity to have a monster year and then really cash in next year. But when we saw the contracts of Calvin Ridley, and then even if we say Hollywood Brown is not that level, we saw where Gabe Davis and Darnell Mooney came. I don't know how Hollywood Brown is not somewhere between the contracts of Gabe Davis and Darnell Mooney and Calvin Ridley. That's where I think he should be. To me, 4 years, $64 million with like 30-something guaranteed was what I would have assumed Hollywood Brown got when you saw the contracts of Ridley, you saw the contracts of Gabe Davis and Darnell Mooney, and kind of figured, okay, Hollywood's probably going to be somewhere in between there. So that, I do think it doesn't change too much the NFL draft, but I do think there's more of a possibility now with how Rashee Rice came on the second half of last year and Hollywood Brown, but it's only a 1-year deal. Do the Chiefs invest in a wide receiver at the end of round one? I think it's possible. I also think it's possible they invest in a wide receiver somewhere on day two, and maybe they continue, you know, to, you know, look elsewhere in the first round of the NFL draft. I don't think a 1-year contract to Hollywood Brown really changes the narrative too much. But I do think where a lot of people were penciling in, they don't know who's going to be there at 32, right? Like maybe they have grades on like 5 or 6 wide receivers in round one, they're all gone. And they don't see a massive difference between taking, I'm just throwing out names, Troy Franklin at pick 32 or at the end of the second round taking Des Walker or whatever the case may be, you know, put a name to it, you know, Roman Wilson or, you know, Ricky Pearsall or, you know, whoever might be there somewhere at the end of round two compared to who might be there at the end of round one. If 6 wide receivers go before they're picked, there might not be a guy. So I think this potentially could see Kansas City hold off on a wide receiver to day two of the draft now that they have Hollywood Brown with Rashee Rice probably as their 1-2 duo in terms of receivers, and then you still have Travis Kelce there. So Kelce, Hollywood, Rashee Rice, they're probably going to be the 3 heavy target guys for Kansas City next year. So that could see a scenario where they say, okay, we're gonna grab another wide receiver for sure, but we're gonna see what's the best position available, best player available at 32, and pivot that direction and wait a little bit. So I do think the Hollywood Brown move was significant. Some other things that have stood out in free agency that I think could impact, let's say, the beginning of the NFL draft. Atlanta Falcons, obviously, with the big signing of Kirk Cousins. Obviously, that takes Atlanta out of the quarterback mix at 8 or trade up. They also signed Darnell Mooney to a pretty sizable contract in 3 years, $39 million. And that's on top of, obviously, having Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson. So at 8, I kind of alluded to it before, I kind of see the writings on the wall for a defensive player. Arguably, it could be the first defensive player in the draft. So I think guys like Dallas Turner, very much in the mix. Jared Verse, very much in the mix. Quinton Mitchell, very much in the mix there. But if there's a scenario where Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers fall, do they just say, we're going all in and we're going to give Kirk Cousins, you know, basically, you know, Drake London, first round pick, Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze, Darnell Mooney, Bijan Robinson, and Kyle Pitts, and have this explosive offense and then attack the defense the rest of the draft? I don't think it's impossible. I think it's unlikely at this point. I think Kirk Cousins can get the most out of guys like Darnell Mooney. I think he can get Kyle Pitts to have his best year. I think we're going to see Drake London explode. So I think that that signing of Kirk Cousins changes how Atlanta approaches this, but you also mix in there the Darnell Mooney signing. And I could see a scenario where they say, okay, we've invested a lot on the offensive side. We're going to use that pick 8 to either go get a corner, a pass rusher. I would expect either one of those premium positions to be what Atlanta's thinking. Another thing that I think substantially could have impacted the top 10 is the Titans surprisingly signed Calvin Ridley to a monster contract. So now they add Calvin Ridley to obviously an aging DeAndre Hopkins. They still have Treylon Burks, who they invested a first round pick in. I don't think Tennessee's in the wide receiver mix right now at 7. Now, again, if Nabers or Odunze fall and they just have such a high grade on them, they could easily do it. They could probably sell off DeAndre Hopkins for a day three pick to a more of a contending team. We don't know what the new regime there thinks of Treylon Burks. Obviously, he showed flashes his rookie year, and then last year he really had a poor year, battled a lot of injuries. But now I think the writing's on the wall for Tennessee to take the best lineman there. They have major issues on the O-line. So whether it's Joe Alt or one of the top other offensive tackles, I think the signing of Calvin Ridley puts offensive linemen squarely as the bullseye at 7, where I think prior to Calvin Ridley, I think you can make the case that they could have gotten the wide receiver to pair with DeAndre Hopkins and Treylon Burks and give Will Levis another young player to grow with. But now I think they take care of Will Levis by getting him a top-notch tackle prospect at number 7. So the Calvin Ridley signing there, I think, really had a ripple effect for Tennessee. I think the Kirk Cousins slash mildly Darnell Mooney had an impact on maybe what the Falcons are going to do. So I think those moves right there. So a lot going on with Keenan Allen going to the Bears, with Kirk Cousins taking Atlanta out of the quarterback mix, them investing another decent resource in Darnell Mooney, might take Atlanta out of the wide receiver mix. They also traded for Rondell Moore. Not that he's a player who's going to impact a major draft decision, but Atlanta kind of seems to have put the pieces of the puzzle together on the offensive side of the ball that I think they're going to use that pick 8 for defense. But we'll see. So a lot of stuff, other things, Washington, not that I ever thought they were going to trade the pick, but they obviously traded Sam Howell today in a pick swap with Seattle. So obviously Washington is honed in on a quarterback. A lot of reports seem to think it's Jaden Daniels. Some people on draft Twitter still think that Drake May's the guy. The reports sure seem like that Jaden Daniels is the guy, and I think that's the one generating more buzz. But Washington's obviously going to be going quarterback at pick 2, Carolina, which obviously sent that pick to Chicago. Chicago's locked in, I think, at 1, taking the quarterback. New England was aggressively going for Calvin Ridley. They didn't get him. So I think they're now in a position where either they're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. or they're going to take the quarterback. Now, there's a possibility that they can make a trade back maybe a small trade back if they have similar, if they're not sold on the third quarterback. Let's just say they want Jaden Daniels and Jaden Daniels goes two and they're not as high on Drake May or J.J. McCarthy. It does open up the possibility for them to trade. Do they want to go all the way back to like where Minnesota and Denver are picking, or maybe something with the Giants, right? And if the Giants come up to three and they like Drake May, they could take Drake May and then New England can go back to six and still get one of those three wide receivers. I think it's going to be fascinating. We'll find out a lot about what teams think about if New England or Arizona makes a small trade with, like, say, the Giants. To me, that's telling me that they don't have a drastic difference in their grade on Marvin Harrison Jr. compared to Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze. Because if you have a really dramatic grade, you're probably not going to drop back a couple picks. But if you have them similarly graded, then it makes a ton of sense to make the trade back, pick up draft assets. They probably can get a future first out of the Giants. So there's ways they can make moves, pick up for future assets, and then still get a top-notch wide receiver. And that package might be better than just sitting there and taking Marvin Harrison Jr. So New England's lack of a big free agent addition at the wide receiver position, I think, opens up the possibility a little bit more that they do take wide receiver. Maybe they trade for Justin Fields. I know Cecil Lammy over at Football Guys has said that he's heard a lot of rumblings that they really like Michael Penix Jr. to maybe take him at the, you know, trade back into the late part of round one or something and take Michael Penix Jr. So there's a lot of whispers out there. Maybe if they would have taken Calvin Ridley, maybe that would have changed the narrative a little bit for New England. But we'll see. You know, Arizona, obviously Hollywood Brown is now left, and they traded away Rondell Moore. They don't really got much in that wide receiver room anymore. You know, they have a third round pick last year, Michael Wilson, obviously up and coming young tight end, and Trey McBride. But they're going to need to get Kyler Murray a big time weapon. So to me, I'm not buying Arizona trading all the way back to 12 or 11. They would really have to love a guy like Brian Thomas or Adee Mitchell to do that trade. I think they need to get Kyler Murray a weapon. So to me, I think they either stay at 4, take Marvin Harrison Jr. if he's there. If not, maybe they make a small trade with like the Giants and again put themselves in position to not get out of this draft without Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., or Rome Odunze. So I think Arizona's lack of re-signing Hollywood Brown, not making any other moves in terms of the wide receivers, I think squarely puts them in the mix there for wide receiver. Giants in free agency, obviously, big trade for Brian Burns. Let Saquon Barkley leave. Let Xavier McKinney leave. I don't think those moves in any way impact the Giants' plans in the draft. If you want to say signing two offensive linemen maybe takes them out of the offensive line business, even though they're short-term, John Runyon Jr., Jermaine Illuminor, they're still not ready, it appears, to give up on Evan Neal after 2 years. So I don't think the Giants are really in the mix. I know they're doing their due diligence on the offensive lines and stuff like that. But I think when push comes to shove, the Giants are either taking a quarterback, trading up for a quarterback, or taking a wide receiver. They didn't tender Isaiah Hodgins, so their wide receiver room is pretty thin with only three guys, really. You know, Darius Slayton, Wandell Robinson, and Jalen Hyatt. None of those guys is a number one. Can make the case maybe none of those guys are even a number two. You know, in a perfect world, Wandell's a really good slot wide receiver. You know, Darius Slayton and Jalen Hyatt, you know, maybe they're wide receiver threes. Maybe there's more upside down the line for Jalen Hyatt to develop into a number two, but they don't have that number one guy. So it's hard to envision a scenario with how highly regarded Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze are that the Giants would take a tackle over either one of those guys. So I think the small free agent additions on the O-line, just investing $5 million in a backup quarterback in Drew Lock, I think says they're either looking for a quarterback whether they stay at 6 and one falls, whether they make a small trade up to 3, 4, or 5, or take the best wide receiver left, who's highest on their board between the big three. You know, there is a scenario. I don't think it's likely, but it isn't inconceivable that Marvin Harrison Jr. fell to 6th. I don't think it's going to happen. But if 4 quarterbacks somehow went before the Giants pick, you're only talking about one other pick. Yeah, it would seem to think it's Marvin Harrison Jr. What if that one team happens to have Malik Nabers higher? What if that one team wants to take Joe Alt? Like, I don't think there's a scenario where Marvin Harrison Jr. falls to 6. But if 4 quarterbacks go, all it takes is one other team to do something different. But I do think if it's wide receiver, it'll be Nabers or Odunze to the Giants. I think if it's quarterback, we're probably talking a trade-up for Drake May or a small trade-up for J.J. McCarthy, or take J.J. McCarthy at 6th. I think those are probably the biggest things in free agency that I think impacted the NFL draft right now. While there's been a ton of other moves, I don't think anything else we could say clearly impacted the top of the NFL draft. Like, obviously, you know, Denver moving on from Jerry Jeudy, you know, a lot of running back movement I'll get into momentarily, but running backs are moving all over the board here. But I don't think there's a lot of other stuff in free agency that makes me think this is dramatically impacting the way a team might handle round one. I just don't see that. A lot of the movement, I think, in free agency obviously will have an impact on depth charts and stuff like that. But how teams interpret round one, shooting for high-end players, I don't see anything. Because a lot of the major movement has been running back movement. There's going to be no running backs in round one this year. So the running back movement, I don't think really says anything about the NFL draft in terms of round one. You know, maybe it means something in round three when we're talking about, you know where a team takes a running back. But even then, a round three running back can easily be added to a mix and added to the veteran. The end of round one, I did talk about Kansas City, so maybe Hollywood Brown slightly impacts Kansas City's plans at 32. Curtis Samuel to Buffalo, I don't think that really impacts whether or not Buffalo's thinking wide receiver at the end of round one. So I don't think a lot of other stuff in free agency really impacted the way round one of the NFL draft will go. Besides, I do think the top of this, you know, Denver right now, quarterback situation is Jared Stidham. Minnesota signing Sam Darnold right now, that's their situation. They are desperately in need of quarterback situation. Las Vegas signing Gardner Minshew. So nothing has changed from Minnesota, Denver, Las Vegas still needing a quarterback of the future. The only team that now we could safely scratch off that for right now is Atlanta's not taking a quarterback at 8. I think they're the favorites to win the NFC South now. They're set up very nicely. So those are kind of my thoughts on how the NFL draft landscape has changed with free agency. Next, I want to kind of spin this to more to signings and the impact on dynasty, my initial takes in terms of stock up, stock down. So I'm just going to kind of go through by the skill positions, and I'm just going to kind of just go through. I have a list up here of the top free agents, and obviously it is where they signed. It's an arbitrary list, you know, based on the way they were ranked here. Talked about Kirk Cousins already. I would say, and I'm not going to say it's stock up for Kirk Cousins because he had Justin Jefferson, you know, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson. So I think it's about slight stock down if we're really talking about Kirk Cousins, you know, going from the weapons he had in Minnesota to Atlanta. But on the flip side, massive stock up for Drake London, massive stock up for Kyle Pitts. Significant stock up for Darnell Mooney, who I didn't even know if he was going to have a chance to be fantasy relevant, and now I think he does. Drake London is arguably my number one buy in all of fantasy right now. I'm sure he's going to cost a lot, but he still hasn't put those any great statistical seasons yet. So if you're aggressive, I think he might be available. If you're aggressive and you're willing to pay, I do think it's possible that you could still get somebody to sell him. And I think he's set to explode. Kyle Pitts, I think you're going to see his best season ever this upcoming year. Darnell Mooney's not going to get as many targets as he did that one year where I think he got over 100. But then you're going to see a lot of fantasy relevance in him. It'll be a little inconsistent. More one of those prototypical, maybe better best ball guys that could have four or five big weeks because he could hit that big play. But stock up on all the Falcons skill players. Stock up on Bijan Robinson. Better offense, more touchdown opportunities. So the whole Atlanta offense, and obviously the big guys, Bijan, Pitts, and Drake London, stock significantly up on all of them with the Kirk Cousins signing. Baker Mayfield re-signing in Tampa Bay. I think that's good for Mike Evans, who stayed there. I think it's good for Chris Godwin. So I would say stock neutral on all three of those guys. Russell Wilson signing with the Steelers. Pretty much to vet Min because he's getting paid like $39 million from Denver. I would say it's got to be stock up on George Pickens. Russell Wilson, while he's not the player he used to be, and I'm not very high on him, and I think the glory days of Russ are gone, one thing he could still do is throw a really pretty and good deep pass. George Pickens can win vertically down the field, so I think it's a good match. I know there's a lot of questions about Arthur Smith, but he's going to run play action. He's going to take shots vertically down the field. That's kind of Russell Wilson's best trait right now. And I think that meshes well with George Pickens. I think Russell Wilson, even at this later stage of his career, is still a significant upgrade over Kenny Pickett. So to me, you combine that with Deontay Johnson being traded, I think it's stock up big time for George Pickens. He'd be another guy I'd be very interested in buying right now. I'm not going to say stock up on Russ Wilson because he actually put a decent statistical season last year in Denver, 28 touchdowns, I think it was. And he had Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy. I don't think the wide receivers in Pittsburgh right now with just George Pickens are any better. So I don't think it's much of a difference in fantasy value for Russ Wilson, but I do think George Pickens' stock rises with that signing. Gardner Minshew, I think he's going to get every opportunity to be the Raiders starter. Him and Aiden O'Connell probably will battle it out. I know Davante Adams, you know, produces with just about anybody, but Gardner Minshew's not a guy who's going to push the ball vertically down the field much. So Davante Adams is going to have to win with volume and the heavy, heavy usage. I was kind of hoping they either traded him or they made a big investment for some type of significant quarterback upgrade. So to me, I'm not going to say stock down on Davante Adams because it wasn't like he was playing with good quarterback play last year, but it's a guy that I'm concerned about his best years are behind him. I'd be okay getting out a year early than a year late on Davante Adams. And if somebody still wants to buy that he's Davante Adams, I don't think we're going to see some resurgence. I don't even know why he's on the roster to begin with. If I'm the Raiders, I would trade him and get back with trade him to the Jets so he can go play with Aaron Rodgers again, or see what else someone else will give him. But I don't think Gardner Minshew is the quarterback that's going to bring out elite production out of Davante Adams. I think he'll still be a very good player because he just commands a lot, and he'll be peppered with targets. But Gardner Minshew is who he is. He's a spot starter, good backup, not a guy who should be a starter. But he might be in that position. Other quarterbacks, you know, keep an eye on Sam Darnold in Superflex or two quarterback leagues. If Minnesota can't get their hands on a quarterback, he might get a real shot. We know they have weapons there with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and TJ Hockenson. So I think Sam Darnold is a very interesting flyer until we see kind of what Minnesota's plans are. Jacoby Brissett. If the Patriots don't go a quarterback at three and maybe do go the Michael Penix route later in the round or early second round, Jacoby Brissett could have a decent chance to be a starter this year. Drew Locke, if the Giants don't get a quarterback, is Drew Locke going to get a real chance to push Daniel Jones come back from the injury? How long are they going to let Daniel Jones be the guy, with the concern that if he gets injured, they can't really cut, they can cut him, but the cap implications are drastically worse if he gets injured, a season-ending injury, and can't pass a physical before the start of the following league year. Same reason why Russell Wilson was shut down at the end of the year. Same reason why Derek Carr was shut down at the end of the year before he left the Raiders. So Drew Lock might get an opportunity. I think those are the main quarterbacks. Obviously, Joe Flacco signed with the Colts. I don't think that really has any impact, assuming Anthony Richardson is healthy. If we go to the running backs, Saquon Barkley to the Eagles. Obviously, good for Saquon. Obviously, anyone listens to the show knows I'm a diehard Giants fan. You know, listen, I don't begrudge him. He got the contract he wanted. He got the contract he deserved, to be honest with you. You know, the fact of the matter is that Saquon Barkley impacted the football game so much more than guys like Gabe Davis and Darnell Mooney. It's almost laughable that he gets a contract that's less money, less guarantees, less average per year than those guys. But at least it's a contract that is as good as running backs basically get, not named Christian McCaffrey. It's way more than what the Giants were willing to pay, where the Giants are as a football team right now. In terms of dynasty, it's hard to not think his stock is up. Everything besides maybe being concerned about losing short yardage touchdowns due to Jalen Hurts always rushing him in. But besides that, dramatic offensive line upgrade, dramatic quarterback upgrade, dramatic skill player upgrade that draws attention, better game environment, more touchdown opportunity, even if he loses some to Jalen Hurts. So stock significantly up on Saquon Barkley, no way around it. With that move, I will say stock down on a guy like Kenneth Gainwell, who I thought had some fantasy dynasty appeal long term, especially if they let DeAndre Swift go. I thought maybe Kenneth Gainwell could have been a low key, you know, guy that really could have been fantasy relevant next year. I think this renders him pretty much useless and irrelevant in almost all fantasy leagues without an injury. Josh Jacobs to Green Bay. Very interesting. I think it's got to be a stock up on Josh Jacobs. He gets out of a really poor offensive environment with the Raiders. Jordan Love looks like an emerging quarterback. Their wide receivers last year, over the last couple of years that they drafted, are emerging players. So the entire surrounding of Josh Jacobs is much better. He's going to get more touchdown opportunities. He's going to be one of the focal points in the offense still. So stock up on Josh Jacobs. I think there were a lot of question marks of where he could end up. He ends up in a pristine location on a young team that's ascending with a quarterback that is ascending. So stock up on Josh Jacobs. Obviously, the impact of that was Aaron Jones being released. So we'll just kind of go there. Aaron Jones was released as a secondary move to Josh Jacobs signing, ended up in Minnesota. But in a weird way, I kind of think it's stock up for Aaron Jones. Because I don't think Minnesota's going to... Green Bay always seemed a little reluctant and hesitant to give him a type of workload that I think in fantasy we all wanted. But he's on a one-year deal for $7 million with the Vikings. He's 29 years old. I don't think they're going to be playing the long game with him. I think he's going to get every opportunity to touch the ball 16, 17, 18 times a game. Right now, especially if they get a rookie quarterback... Obviously, we know the wide receivers and the tight end are set up there in Minnesota to be prolific. They get a young quarterback there. We talked about Caleb Williams maybe in Chicago having an ideal setup. But if Minnesota can get their hands on a young quarterback, you're basically dropping them in there with the best wide receiver in football, a top three tight end in football, a really good young wide receiver in Jordan Addison. And then you're going to put a guy like Aaron Jones, who's a really good, versatile running back, who's a good runner and receiver. So I think stock up on Aaron Jones. I think he's going to be the guy there. I think they'll use Ty Chandler a little bit, but I think they're going to really work Aaron Jones. Now, it's not a long-term dynasty move, but right now, he's a guy that teams don't like 29-year-old running backs. But if you need a running back for next year, he's a really intriguing guy to try to get your hands on. So I would say stock up just for this year on Aaron Jones. Derrick Henry signs a two-year, $60 million contract with the Ravens. Nothing but stock up for him as well. Talking about a different environment, in the same backfield now as Lamar Jackson. Going to get way more rushing touchdown opportunities on a way better football team, on a team that has historically been a great running team with mediocre running backs. Derrick Henry didn't show signs of a guy who doesn't have anything left in the tank. But I think a lot of these older guys are set up to really be impactful. Now, is it long-term? No. But if you're talking about 1 or 2 years, I think Henry's going to be really good still. I think Saquon for 2 or 3 years in Philly going to be really good. I think Josh Jacobs is going to have a couple of really good years in Green Bay. I think Aaron Jones might have a really good year in Minnesota this year. One of the surprising moves in free agency was Tony Pollard signing a deal with the Titans. Very similar deal to DeAndre Swift, who signed with the Bears. 3 years, about $24 million. I think you got to say stock slightly down. He had the backfield basically to himself in Dallas last year. Now he joins a team that's got a worse offensive line, a worse quarterback, a worse surrounding environment, going to be playing in game scripts that are less ideal, and a really good young back in Tyjae Spears. So it's a better contract than I thought he was going to get after he struggled last year. But I do think it's a little bit stocked down for his dynasty value compared to where it was last year when he was with Dallas. Now, as the year went on, his dynasty value started to dip. So getting a decent contract, I think, saves it. But the setup in Tennessee is clearly not as good as it was in Dallas. The other ramifications are this is Tyjae Spears was one of my guys who I thought was going to have a real chance to be a breakout star this year, be a legitimate RB2. This move hurts. I know they're both probably best in a committee, so I think that's what they're thinking. But I do think this hurts Tyjae Spears' value significantly. I think he's more of an RB3/flex play at best, and RB2 is not really in the cards without an injury. I still like him long-term, but even if Tony Pollard is there 2 years, that's eating up 2 more years of Tyjae Spears, maybe not seeing enough usage to be a really relevant fantasy asset. And then you're talking about him being in his fourth year. And there were question marks about longevity with him, you know, due to no, you know, cartilage or whatever, the ACL stuff, that the injury that, you know, he's basically playing without an ACL and stuff like that. So intrigued by Tony Pollard for the year, but I think obviously not the setup he had with Dallas where he was the guy. Stock down on Tyjae Spears, thanks to him now not getting nearly as much of the workload as they thought he might get. Austin Eckler signed with Washington. He goes from being the guy with the Chargers to now probably part of a committee. We don't know what the new brass thinks of Brian Robinson, but I do think it's a major stock down for Brian Robinson. Last year, he was just competing with Antonio Gibson. Now he's competing with a guy who's been a great running back for a long time in Austin Eckler. Now, we don't know what Austin Eckler has left. He battled with a lot of injuries last year. But before he got hurt, he still looked like the same dominant Austin Eckler. And the year before, he was dominant. So I think it was a really smart signing by the Commanders to see if Austin Eckler has anything left in the tank. And him and Brian Robinson will be their 1-2 duo, I think. Obviously, the days of Austin Eckler being a top 5 running back, I think, are gone. I still think he can maybe be an RB2. I think this hurts Brian Robinson a lot, because Austin Eckler is going to be the guy to catch the passes. He's always been great near the goal line. So I think Brian Robinson now is designated more to like an RB3-4 type with a new regime there. So stock down on Brian Robinson due to the Austin Eckler signing. DeAndre Swift signs with the Bears. Decent money for his running back off the board in free agency. I think it's a big, big shot to the vow for Roshan Johnson, Khalil Herbert. Those guys go from intriguing, maybe relevant fantasy pieces to now just bench stashes. I think DeAndre Swift has an opportunity in what I think would be a pretty good offense with the weapons that they're putting there. If Caleb Williams, most likely the quarterback, can have a good year, I think the Bears are set up to be pretty interesting. So I think DeAndre Swift could potentially be an RB2. I think he will share some of the workload, whether it be with Roshan Johnson or Khalil Herbert. But I think those guys are stocked down. I think DeAndre Swift is stocked down. This is not nearly as good of a setup as Philadelphia. I think the Bears are on the up, but the offensive line's not nearly as good as Philadelphia. The threat of Jalen Hurts rushing opened things up for DeAndre Swift. He doesn't have that this year. Caleb Williams, if that's the guy's a good athlete, but they're not going to be running a lot of RPOs and stuff like that. So I think a little bit of stock down on DeAndre Swift based on Philadelphia, being in Philadelphia last year. I think stock down on the secondary backs in Chicago with this signing. Zach Moss signed a 2-year, $8 million deal with the Bengals. I mean, I think this is a home run stock up for Zach Moss. The Bengals then also turned around and traded Joe Mixon to the Houston Texans. But let's talk about Zach Moss first. He's set up to be the starting running back, or at least the starting of some type of committee, unless they invest like a early day two pick in a running back. Zach Moss is set up to potentially be a 60% guy on a really good offense. Zach Moss has got 10-12 touchdown upside this year, I think. If they don't make much of an investment and they just go with Moss and Chase Brown, I think there's a real chance Zach Moss could be a good RB2 next year for fantasy. So stock up on Zach Moss. The trade then of Joe Mixon to Houston was fascinating because I was ready to basically say Joe Mixon was done being fantasy viable. And I've been as big a Joe Mixon on the field fan for years. But it looked like the writing was kind of on the wall that he was at the end of his run of being a fantasy relevant running back. And then Houston comes in with this trade. And then today they gave him a pretty hefty 3-year extension. So all of a sudden now Joe Mixon is the lead guy there in Houston. We saw that Damian Pierce didn't really fit what they wanted to do last year. Once again, the day three running back came back to bite people in the behind who were overly excited about Damian Pierce from the year before. So I think Joe Mixon's going to have every opportunity to be the so-called bell cow, 60-70% usage for Houston, be the main guy near the in the red zone, catch a ton of passes out of the backfield, and play in a really good up-and-coming offense with C.J. Stroud at the helm. I actually think it's stocked significantly up on Joe Mixon because he was in a place where you sort of write it on the wall when they kind of made him take the big pay cut, and then they just kind of wanted everything to revolve around Joe Burrow, rightfully so, and Houston's going to want everything to revolve around C.J. Stroud. But this is a team really making an investment in him long term. And it's not like it's this massive drop off in offensive, you know, efficiency. I think Houston's going to be very efficient. They got a good O-line. So I think it's a little bit of a stock up for Joe Mixon when I think people were basically ready to bury him. And now I think he's a rock solid RB2 next year. And maybe even for 2 more years now have that opportunity if he can play well. So I think a little bit of a stock up on Joe Mixon. Zach Moss, you know, took his place, big time stock up. Devin Singletary leaves Houston, signs with the Giants. I think he's going to have every opportunity to be the Giants' starting running back. He's gotten over 1,000 total yards, I think it's 3 consecutive years. I think there's a good possibility he makes it 4 years in a row. I don't think the Giants are going to do much else in free agency, maybe sign a veteran for like the vet min. They drafted Eric Gray, and I believe it was round 5 last year. Maybe they take another day three running back and add to the mix. But I think Joe Shane and Brian Daboll really like Devin Singletary and are going to give him every opportunity to be the quasi lead back in this backfield. I think he's got a chance to be an RB2. Now, if he just would have stayed in Houston, I think that would have been best, but he was a free agent. We didn't know where he was going to go. So I think landing where he did, it is stock up on Devin Singletary because he could have easily landed somewhere in free agency where he was the secondary piece in a backfield. And now instead he lands in a place where he's the main guy. So stock up on him. Antonio Gibson to New England. I don't think a lot changes in his value. I think he's going to be a piece of that backfield with Ramondre Stevenson. I think the Ramondre Stevenson hype last year has probably swelled to the point where now he's looked at as more of a low RB2-ish. I think they'll use Antonio Gibson as a secondary piece there. So I don't think Antonio Gibson's value changes all that much from what he was doing in Washington to what he's going to be asked to do in New England. We saw Ramondre lose a lot of work to Ezekiel Elliott last year, so I don't think this really moves the needle for Ramondre Stevenson either. Gus Edwards landed in the Chargers. I think you got to say stock up. Right now, he's their lead back. Do I expect that to stay? No. I think Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers will draft a running back somewhere in the draft, maybe on day two somewhere. Maybe he goes and gets his running back, Blake Corum. But right now, stock up for Gus Edwards. If we take this to the pass catchers, let's start with the tight end. Dalton Schultz re-signed in Houston. I think that's good for his value. Hunter Henry re-signed in the Patriots. I think that's good for his value. Noah Fant re-signed with the Seahawks. He's going to get more of an opportunity this year, so it might be a slight stock up on Noah Fant. Mike Gesicki signs a one-year deal with the Bengals. Maybe that's a little intriguing there, especially if T. Higgins is not back. Do they use Mike Gesicki a little bit as a pass-catching weapon? Gerald Everett signs a two-year, $12 million deal with the Bears, so him and Cole Kmet form the 1-2 duo there. So I would say slight stock up there for Gerald Everett, but probably more of a stock neutral. So not a lot of impact with the tight end movement just yet. If we take this to the wide receivers, now we've talked about some of them already. We already talked about Hollywood Brown. We already talked about Calvin Ridley. I think for Calvin Ridley, it's stocked down because he's going from Jacksonville's offense and Trevor Lawrence to Will Levis, so I think that's a little bit of a stock down. And then T. Higgins, franchise tag, we don't know where he's going to play yet. We'll revisit that when we know. Mike Evans, we talked about before, staying in Bucs. I think that's good for his value. Michael Pittman staying with the Colts. I think that's good for his value. Gabe Davis going to Jacksonville, I think, is intriguing, especially with the loss of Calvin Ridley. So I'm going to say a little bit of a stock up on Gabe Davis. I think he's going to potentially get a chance to see a little bit more target volume in that new offense that he's in there now. So a little bit of a stock up on Gabe Davis. I think it's a real big stock up for Christian Kirk, who I think, and Evan Ingram, who will be the two focal points of that Jacksonville offense. Darnell Mooney, we talked about before. Curtis Samuel today signing with Buffalo, so I think stock up on him. I think that's a nice signing there for Buffalo. So those are the major wide receiver movements right now. We'll see if we get anything on T. Higgins. So there it is, guys. My thoughts on how free agency has impacted the top 12, 13 of the NFL draft, and my thoughts on every significant signing in terms of dynasty value, stock up, stock down, stock neutral. Does it impact the impact it has on the surrounding guys as well? If you're enjoying this content, please get over to website SS Football, fastest and easiest way to get there. Check out the premium content tab for $9.99. You get access to all of our premium notebooks, the scouting notebook, the rankings notebook, the draft projections notebook. It is the best way to support the show and to help us to continue to do what we do here at Saturday to Sunday. With the free agent frenzy behind us, with the combine behind us, we will turn our attention back to the Tier Buster shows. If you missed the one before the combine, we did the quarterback Tier Buster show. We will do the tiers for running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends in the next three episodes before we start having on some great guests from the industry. So, on behalf of our sound tech engineer, Dave Nakano, and myself, thank you for joining us, and we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.